Good morning. Like to take this moment to welcome everyone to our Extension Cotton Specialist presentations this morning. If you haven't been to one of these presentations before, what we do is we work as a concerted group on different projects each year to try to gather a good amount of information to pass along to our producers. And we're very fortunate this year to have almost all of our cotton specialists present this morning. What we will do is we'll have two presentations, one on nitrogen, one on foliar fungicides. They'll each be about 30 minutes each, and then after that we will have an additional 30 minutes for questions at that point in time. If you want to ask questions about today's presentations, that's great. If you want to ask questions just of things from your area in general while we've got all of our specialists up here, that'll be fine as well. So with that, welcome, thank you, and we'll get started with this first presentation. This is the first year of a two-year or maybe three-year project that we've begun working on, looking at the nitrogen use requirements of cotton cultivars, and we're looking at it based on seed size of the varieties that we're planting. We'll go into some of the details about that, but we have 10 locations of that across the Cotton Belt. We have Arizona, two in Texas, one in Oklahoma, one in Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. So we've pretty well got the belt covered with this trial. It is funded by Cotton Incorporated, and we appreciate their help in helping us conduct that work. Those locations also have quite a variety of soil types related to them as well. There are clay loam soils, sandy loam soils, silt loam soils, silty clay loam soils, loam soils. So we're able to get a good representation of different soil types that cotton has grown on across the belt in this project. So kind of the objective that we're looking at in this trial is we want to compare nitrogen use of contemporary cultivars based on their seed size, kind of with this idea in the back of our mind that seed size could control the amount of nitrogen that crop needs to produce an optimal yield. Similarly, smaller seeded size cultivars might require less nitrogen than a larger sized cultivar. What we're trying to get out of this trial overall is look at the effect of seed size on our nitrogen requirement, look at the utility of soil nitrate testing in our non-arid and arid environments. We've had a lot of luck in the western regions being able to use these soil nitrate tests to find out how much available nitrogen we have in the soil. However, in the eastern rain-fed environments, that number tends to get a little bit fuzzy, and we're not really sure what's exactly there whenever we get ready to plant our crop. We're looking at maturity differences in these varieties due to our nitrogen utilization, and then we're also looking at just the nitrogen response of these modern cultivars, since most of the nitrogen work that was done in many of our states has been at least 20, 30, maybe even as much as 50 or 60 years ago since it's been updated. Quick disclaimer, the materials and methods I'm about to show you were set up as protocol minimums. One of the nice things about having this project in 10 different locations is we all have our own special set of tools available to us. So there will be some things that we can share in the future using some of the newer technologies such as NDVI sensing equipment like green seekers and crop circles to be able to expound on some of that information and see how those work across varieties, nitrogen rates, and those interactions. But essentially, all of these trials were set up as randomized block designs with a factorial arrangement of treatments, four replications. We had three varieties, and those were chosen based on their seed size, numbers of seed per pound. We had four nitrogen rates that we applied. That would be no nitrogen, 40, 80, or 120 pounds of nitrogen. Again, with those four replications, we had 48 experimental units at each location. Nitrogen fertility rates in this trial, again, were based on a 40-pound increment, increasing from 0 up to 120, and most of that nitrogen was always applied prior to pinhead square stage. Essentially, you did it like your producers would do it in your state. If you applied it pre-plant, that's fine. If you applied it side dress, that's fine. If you did a combination of the two, that is fine. We also encouraged everyone to use their locally accepted form of nitrogen, whether that would be ammonium nitrate, urea, liquid 32%, anhydrous, whatever is typically used in your area, use that to represent your trial. Our plot sizes in this trial, we tried to make larger on purpose. And part of that is because nitrogen is mobile in the soil, we didn't want to have it moving from one plot to the other. Specifically, if you had a high nitrogen rate plot next to a zero rate plot, you didn't want it to move and confound your data. So ideally, we were looking at 8-row wide plots with at least 50 foot in length. Smaller was acceptable if you had some limitations. And these larger plots also make it nice for using some of the sensor equipment going over to actually scan the crop. You can use it on the equipment you have it mounted on. The first thing that we did once we were getting this crop in the ground was we would do pre-plant soil sampling to look at the amount of residual nitrate available in the soil. We would take two samples per plot and sample to a depth of 24 inches. When we would bring that 24-inch core out, we would partition it into the top 6 inches and then the bottom 18 inches, from 6 inches to 24. Combine the similar depths and then submit that as one soil sample to obtain a basic nutrient and nitrate analysis on the 0 to 6-inch subsample, and then to look at nitrate analysis only in the deep subsample. So we're trying to find out at these different locations how much nitrogen do we have in that top 2 foot of the soil profile. As we move into the season, the first thing we do is take a stand count. That way we can make sure that some of the yield results we're seeing at the end of the year isn't due to reduced stands or planting too much seed in the beginning. It just kind of works in there as a covariate in case we need it. And then beginning in mid-season, we at bloom, every week we would go out and count note above white flower on 10 plants per plot and continue tracking that maturity measure or that fruiting measure until we reached cutout or note above white flower 5 on our highest nitrogen rate plots. In the late season, about 120, 130 days after planting, we would go out and record the plant height, number of nodes above crack bowl to see how nitrogen affected the crop through at the end of the entire season. We would continue tracking that maturity and defoliate the entire trial once all plots displayed at least 60% open bowls. Some of those optional in-season measurements we were talking about, we've worked with some of our counterparts in soil science to do leaf tissue testing, NDVI measurements, chlorophyll meter measurements, and we tried to time those up to be where we were looking at bloom, 2 weeks after bloom, and then again at cutout, so we could kind of get a range of how these nitrogen rates were affecting our varieties. At the end of the season, we would harvest the plots, calculate gin turnout, lint yield, do fiber quality. I'm sorry to say we do not have fiber quality data back yet for this year. Do a seed index where we count out 100 seed and weigh them to see how nitrogen affected the weight of our seed and the amount of seed we're getting per acre. And then also, once we get all of that accomplished, we are then sending that seed to a lab for nitrate concentration analysis to find out how much nitrate we're actually taking away from the plot in the seed every year. Varieties that we used, again, were based on seed size. Our large seeded varieties had, you know, a smaller number of seed per pound. We chose 3 different varieties across the entire trial for this year. Our medium seed size, there are a lot more entries to choose from in this size, from about 4,400 up to 500 or up to 5,000 seeds per pound. So we had quite a diversity there. We're going to actually cut that down in the following year to only 3 varieties to choose from as well. And then our small seeded side, there were just very few varieties to choose from there. Probably the most notorious small seed cotton is 555 Delta Pine. So it will be continued in the trial for next year, but there are some new Bolgard 2 Flexes that have a small seed size as well to choose from. The first bit of data that I want to show you is just from the soil testing. How much residual nitrogen were we finding in that top 2 foot of soil? So as we set up our little graph here on the left-hand side y-axis, we're looking at pounds of extractable nitrate per acre. And then across the bottom, we have each of our locations. Location was highly significant in this analysis, and I think you'll see why real quick. There's a wide variability in the amount of nitrate that's available. Typically, it's due to soil type or to fertilization history. If we just look real quick here on the left-hand side, in the Carolinas, North Carolina, South Carolina, on a sandy loam-type soil. We have very low nitrate holding capacity. As we move into the Mid-South, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, we tend to have a higher capacity to hold nitrate in the soil. One of the comments that Tom Barber made about his location in Arkansas is even though that there's a high level of nitrate available in that top 2 foot profile, he doesn't feel that the roots all the time get deep enough in their situations to mine that out. So even though we're registering that amount, it may not be totally what's available to the plant. In Oklahoma, they were able to place their test on a location that had very low nitrogen history. So we had very little residual nitrate at that location. And then as you move into the more arid environments of West Texas and Arizona, the amount of nitrate that was available increased quite dramatically over the more eastern areas of the country. So just real quick to talk about the data analysis that we're going to look at. There's two ways that we're going to look at this. The first of which is, how did what we apply in season affect the crop? We'll look at it based on that 0, 40, 80, 120 pound scheme. And then we'll also back away from that and look at total available nitrogen. So when you see a slide that says total nitrogen, that's total available nitrogen. That's a combination of what we applied in season plus what was available to the crop from the residual soil nitrate. Basically, the way that we accomplished this was we recategorized the data. When we added those two numbers together, instead of having four nitrogen rate categories, we ended up with seven, looking at 0 to 40 pounds, 40 to 80, 80 to 120, 120 to 160, 160 to 200, and then plots that had above 200 pounds of available nitrate. So just wanted to clarify that before we get into these data slides. So when you see two slides that look somewhat similar, you'll know what we're talking about. Look at some of the plant measurements to begin with. First off, we're going to look at plant height with our applied nitrogen rates, our 0, 40, 80, and 120. The first thing that we find is that we do have significance based on the size of the seed. So the large, the medium, and the small seed had different plant heights. When we switch over and we look at our nitrogen rates, we go from 0 to 40 to 80 to 120. Is anybody in this room surprised by what you just saw? I don't think so. It's a pretty well-known fact that as you increase nitrogen rates, you're going to increase plant height. Again, these plots are all maintained the same throughout the season, so there's no specifically higher PGR rates on the higher nitrogen rates to keep them down. It would confound things too much to have to go that route. So classically, more nitrogen, taller plants. If we look at that based on total available nitrogen on those three different seed sizes, first off, the black bar is your average height, so that's what we saw on the last slide for seed size. And then you start going through these different nitrogen amounts in the soil in 40-pound increments. And what you really find is that big dramatic increase starts happening whenever you get 40 to 80 pounds of nitrate in the soil. And then once you get above 150, 160 pounds, you again get a large increase in your plant height, about 2 inches or so. So this is just how we're going to look at most of this data. That way we can tell, based on what we know is in the soil, what we know we're applying, how it's going to affect our plant height. What you'll notice is, with most of these varieties, if we're under 100 pounds or so, under 120 pounds, we're looking at about a 32-inch tall plant. When we get into those higher nitrate amounts, we're looking at a 4-inch or more taller plant. So there's some management implications that come into play with those higher residual rates. This is a picture from my location in Tennessee just to kind of show how the canopy developed with these different rates. Down here in the left-hand corner, this is a medium-sized seed with 0 pounds of nitrogen. You'll notice you can kind of distinctly pick out the rows in this plot. Compare that to the medium-sized seed with 40 pounds of nitrogen, you can see the plant height difference and the canopy thickness difference. Directly behind that, we see the small-seeded variety with 80 pounds of nitrogen versus 120. A much darker plant, much more robust plant, more leaf area, taller plant. And then finally in the back, you kind of get that most dramatic effect, large seeded variety, no nitrogen, large seeded variety, 120 pounds of nitrogen. Big change in canopy right here between these two rates. So that's just kind of a visual of what we were talking about with plant heights. Number of total plant nodes for applied nitrogen. Again, there was a statistical separation in our seed sizes. However, it was less than a node. So it's not really something that has a practical implication to us. When we begin looking at our applied nitrogen rates, not much difference between 0 and 40. Begin to see about a node and a half, two nodes difference when you get to 80 pounds. And then you pick up about another node whenever you move up to 120. So you can have up to a two node difference across that nitrogen profile. Look at total plant nodes now with total available nitrogen. What happens? And on the y-axis, that should be nodes and not inches. If we look at these nitrogen rates, what you'll find is, again, you slowly increase the number of nodes. So essentially, you're going from about a 16, 17 node plant in a normal nitrogen application environment. Whenever we have high levels of nitrate available and high application rates, you're getting about three or four more nodes per plant with those excessively high nitrogen rates. A lot of times you think that's going to be good, more nodes, more opportunities to set fruit, more potential for yield. Not necessarily the case, as we'll see in a few minutes. How do these applied nitrogen rates affect the maturity of the crop throughout the growing season? So we're going to look at node above crack bowl as a measurement for maturity. Again, nodes on the y-axis are different nitrogen rates coming in, 0, 40, 80, 120. Not too dramatic of a change, about a two node difference between 0 and 120 pounds. Essentially, that's going to be about another 100 heat units that you're going to have at the end of the season to finish maturing out that higher nitrogen rate. Depending on where you're at in the country, 100 heat units can be 5 days, or in our environment, 100 heat units, you may never get there after October 1st. So that can have a very dramatic impact on the quality of the cotton you pick at the end of the year. If we look again at nodes above crack bowl for that total amount of available nitrogen, again, there's a slight increase as we go along. A little more dramatic here, you're looking about 2.5 to 3 nodes difference now for the most part whenever you get up into those really high nitrogen rates. Again, increasing the length of time that you're going to have to accumulate heat units to finish that top crop. Gen turnout. Looking at it over our seed size and our applied nitrogen rate, large, medium, small seed, about a 1% difference between less for the large seed compared to the medium and small size seed. One of the things that we have to be real careful with when we look at this, as Don Boquette brought up the other day in our meeting, is this truly due to seed size, or is this just a varietal characteristic? So we're going to have to investigate that a little bit more to make sure that it's just not the varieties that we're choosing that's causing this difference and not the size of the seed itself. We look at the applied nitrogen amounts, not much of a change, about 1 to 1.5%, but it is a decrease. The higher nitrogen rate you apply, the more your gen turnout percent can be lowered. Even at 1%, if we're talking about, you know, a 1,500 pound crop, that's about 15 pounds of additional lint you could have by backing your nitrogen rate down. Gen turnout, looking at total available nitrogen in the profile. Again, seed size made a difference. Again, about a 1% difference on seed size. Total nitrogen, again, a slight decrease as your nitrogen rates increase, you know, anywhere from 1 to 1.5 to 2% decrease in your lint percent with the higher nitrogen rates. Lint yield, the slide everybody wants to see. Looking at our applied nitrogen rates and our seed size, again, on seed size, is this a artifact of the varieties that we chose, or is this actually happening in our test? You know, are these larger seeded varieties having lower yields over all of these nitrogen rates? That's a question we're going to have to address in the coming year. Look at our nitrogen rate differences. What you find is quickly, you make about 900 pounds of lint with no nitrogen across these environments. You add 40 pounds of nitrogen, you have a big increase up to over, you know, about 1,130, 1,140 pounds. You add another 40 pounds of nitrogen, you get up over 1,200, but then you plateau off. That additional 40 pounds going up to 120 statistically is similar to 80, but numerically actually decreased a little bit. So those more, the more nodes you have on the plant, the more biomass you have out there, lengthening that maturity is hurting yield a little bit at that higher rate. Let's look again at yield now with total available nitrogen in the soil profile plus what we apply. Again, large, medium, small-sided seed. There's your averages for those size seed. The first thing you notice is that the zero nitrogen rate, the large seed, did not yield very much at all compared to the medium and small seed. Again, is this due to seed size or is it variety? Not really sure. I have to work that out. Add in 40 to 80 pounds of nitrogen available to the plant, you get dramatic increases with the large and medium size, and the small size seed increase about 50 pounds or so as well. Go up another step of 40 pounds on that large seed, again, you're getting an increase. The medium-sized seed, it's not statistically different. Small-sized seed, it's an increase, but again, it's not statistically significant. Same thing, if we go up, if you've got 120 to 160 pounds available, slight increase, not significant. On that large-sized seed, when you get up to a really high rate, you get an increase, not necessarily significant. And then finally, above 200 pounds, most of the varieties have dropped off except for that smaller seeded cultivar, which, you know, still has a numeric increase, but it's not statistically different. So from top to bottom, you know, you can see a dramatic increase in yield on those larger seeded varieties as nitrogen rate increases. Let's take a minute and just think about what we just saw. If we look at the return on our nitrogen investment for that applied rate, with our large, medium, and small size seed, what we find is as you increase your nitrogen rate, you get a percent yield increase of about 14% or 24% when you go from 0 to 80 for the large seed, a 19 to 25% increase for the medium seed, and a 14 to 29% increase for the small size seed. So you're looking anywhere in the neighborhood from about 130 up to 250 pounds of yield increase per acre from these trials. That equates out to anywhere from a $24 to $75 investment in nitrogen if you're paying about 60 cents a pound for your nitrogen. Look at your return on investment. What you find is that this 80 pound applied rate each time, that's where you've kind of optimized the return on your investment per acre. Because once you get above 80 pounds, that additional nitrogen you're applying, you're not getting as good of a return. At 80 pounds, you're getting anywhere from about $1.30 per acre return on that pound of nitrogen. Whenever you go up to 120 pounds, it decreases to where you're only getting about 70 to 90 cents per pound. So in summary, for our residual nitrate, we were finding more in our arid environments in the west. We were finding more in our medium to fine textured soils and less in our coarse sandy soils. I don't think that's too much of a surprise to anyone, other than it kind of surprised us that even on the sandy or coastal plain soils in that top 2 foot profile, we were still finding about 25 pounds of residual nitrogen. Plant heights, pretty much classically what we would expect. That larger seeded variety was about 2 inches shorter, and whenever we increased our nitrogen rates, we increased plant height about 2 inches for every 40 pounds of nitrogen increase. Our gen turnout, the larger seeded size variety, was about 1% less compared to the medium and small size seed, and we had about a 1 to 1.5% reduction in lint percent as our nitrogen rate increased from 0 to 120. Maturity changed as we had higher nitrogen rates, about 2 nodes or about 100 heat units. Again, heat units aren't all created equal at the end of the year, so where you're at physically in latitude terms can make a big difference on how soon you accumulate 100 heat units. So that can dramatically impact your crop at the end of the year. Total nodes, we were seeing less than a node difference between seed sizes. It was statistically significant. Practically significant doesn't really matter to us. You're seeing about two more nodes whenever you got to the higher nitrogen rates, or about a four node difference whenever you went up to that 200 pounds of available nitrogen in the entire profile. Lint yield, again, that larger seeded size was lower. Is that variety, is it the seed size causing that? We'll have to figure that out. But what we did find is that yield was optimized at all of these locations for 80 pounds of applied nitrogen. What we were finding is that if you had in your soil profile, plus what you add in applied nitrogen, ranged between 80 to 120 pounds available, that's where you were optimizing your yield across the belt. I think that's fairly dramatic, because I know at least in my state, most of our producers are applying at least 100 pounds, if not 120, every year. This really shows the value that we can have with a little bit of soil testing and determining what we actually have there to mine from our soil. Finally, talking with Dr. Bowman in the High Plains, what they find generally is that whenever you have higher nitrogen applications, you decrease micronair. We didn't have our fiber data back, so I included these comments just to kind of give you some idea of what can happen. Does this decrease in micronair happen as a function of seed-nitrogen relationship within the plant? Or is that more of a function of when you apply nitrogen at higher rates, you have a lot more immature bolls that may or may not be picked? Doesn't affect us in the picker environment, but whenever you're running a stripper, you get all of those. And so you can get a lot of immature fibers in that crop in the High Plains. And if you backed your nitrogen rate off a little bit, maybe you wouldn't see such dramatic discounts for those low mic values. So with that, I'm going to ask that everybody holds questions here until the end. Dr. Darren Dodds is going to make a presentation here in just a moment about foliar fungicides. When he finishes up, we will have our cotton specialist from across the belt here at the front of the room. And we would love for you all to ask questions, again, not only about what we're showing today, but if you just have questions in general they could answer for you, they'll be happy to do so.